Welcome to the first ever episode of Just Another Autism Podcast. In this podcast, we take a deep dive into the lives of everyone who has a connection to autism. Autistic individuals, parents, caregiver, you name it. We want to hear all about what makes autistic people who they are. And today, I am so happy to be joined by Keith Wargo, who is the CEO of Autism Speaks and also the father of a son on the autism spectrum. Welcome, Keith.
Thanks, Eileen. Good to be with you.
So for people who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe, and a little bit about your son, AJ, who's on the autism spectrum?
Sure. So I've been with Autism Speaks for almost 2.5 years now. I spent 30 years in the corporate sector, specifically in financial services. With my family and I, we live in New Jersey. AJ, my son, is 25. He's autistic. He was diagnosed at 3, right around his third birthday. He was born in San Francisco, but we moved to New Jersey, and he was, you know, diagnosed shortly thereafter. He's doing really well. He recently moved out on his own. He has a part-time job, and everything's going really well.
What made you want to work at Autism Speaks? Like, why are you so passionate about the work we do here?
Well, the journey of this organization, in fact, kind of the journey of this community, there's a lot in common with our family's journey. Right? AJ was diagnosed a little over 20 years ago, when autism was considered to be rare, when there was little known about autism. I often say at the time that when we started talking to family and friends, et cetera, nobody ever even heard of the word autism. And Ann and I struggled hard to find any resources or information. It was really just digging in and working hard to find what we as a family needed and what we needed for our son. We've come a long way since then. And what I realized, I had finished my career at Wall Street. I'd retired in the middle of COVID. It had been a great run, and it was time to step aside. And what I realized was where we are today and where I think the organization, the community needs to go fit well in, number one, my personal journey, but secondly, what I'd done as a businessman, which was to take businesses from a certain point and kind of lead them forward to the future. So it dovetailed really well with where I was in my life, and where I felt like the community and the organization needed to go.
And when you started working at Autism Speaks, were you aware of the controversies and misinformation and disinformation surrounding the organization?
Yeah, I'd say I became aware as I dug in and did my due diligence around the organization. I think I became more aware. It was not front of mind, but I certainly became aware from doing that diligence and reading up, et cetera. Sure, absolutely.
Was that scary for you as a business person to come into an organization with controversy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, throughout my career, throughout my life, right, I've always had to look at things and say, geez, there's a tough situation, there's a tough set of circumstances, and approach it in the context of, do you want to be part of making the change, or do you want to let things sit as they are, or, you know, frankly, avoid them. The interesting thing is, like, if I make a comparison to financial services, you know, what I did was advise clients at times when, oftentimes it was exciting times. The company was going public, or they were raising money because things were going great. There was a fair share of that, but there was also companies that brought you in at times where they were in a crisis. They had difficult times. And so I had learned that and been able to advise and work with companies and CEOs, et cetera, on those types of situations. So no, I've never been one to kind of, you know, shy away from challenges. It's kind of, you know, what I enjoy, what gives me, you know, passion and energy.
And actually, last year, during World Autism Month, you wrote a letter addressing some of the missteps from the past, even though you were not CEO at the time some of these missteps happened. What made you want to go public with this statement? Why is it important to you?
Well, I thought it was critical. Firstly, this organization and this community has evolved tremendously over the last 20 plus years, right? Again, my own family being a perfect story of that, right? Well, like I said, 20 years ago, nobody knew anybody who was autistic. Nobody knew a family member, a neighbor, anybody. In fact, pretty much nobody who I knew had ever even heard of the term, the word autism. And so that's not where we are today. We've evolved as a society. We've evolved as an organization. And so, you know, when you look back at some of the ways, you know, some of the content that we created, some of the ways that the language that we used, it's not in line with where we are today. It's not in line with how we view the world today. It's not in line with anything we do as it relates to helping work with and create better lives for those in the community. So I thought it was important to acknowledge those missteps and the fact that we have moved beyond them. I think it's important to recognize that for folks who feel like they were harmed by that was never our intent and that we regret it. And to look and say, we're here to listen to the community. We're here to try to address the community's needs in the best way that we can. We're not going to be perfect. Nobody is. But trying to really call for a unity and a sort of saying this, we're coming at this with our best intent. We'll always come at it with our best intent. We'll make mistakes, but we'll always do it in the context of trying to make the community better and to help lives.
That is such a beautiful message. I'm so glad you said that. I mean, even as human beings, we're constantly evolving, right? I'm not the same person I was just a year ago. As a society, right, we are evolving. Like, that's human. You know, if we didn't change, didn't learn, that would be bad. So it makes sense that there were things that were done in the past that we don't align with anymore. And who knows, maybe what we're doing now, we're not going to agree with a few years down the line. But as long as we're listening to the autistic community and the autism community, I think we'll be just fine, because those people, they just want to feel heard, and we can take it from there. So thank you.
Yeah, and I think at the same time, it's important to acknowledge, to acknowledge the legitimacy of those feelings, and that was part of what I said, and I continue to say is, we do acknowledge that those feelings, we're hoping that folks will come along with us on the journey and evolve as we are.
Now, some of these things that happened in the past were true, and like we just talked about, we've acknowledged those missteps, but there is also a lot of misinformation and disinformation on social media, and these things are just not true. And I think it's really important that people know the facts, and it's difficult to put the right information out there. So what would you like to say to people who don't have the right information about Autism Speaks? Like, how can we get them to listen to facts over social media misinformation and disinformation?
I mean, this is probably the thing that I'm most passionate about and candidly frustrates me the most. And yes, as it relates to our organization, but even more broadly as it relates to the community, I think the damage that disinformation and misinformation causes is tremendous. Oftentimes, parents and caregivers or autistic individuals themselves are coming to us or to others looking for the truth, looking for factual information that can help them improve their families' lives, their lives, etc. And when you have information out there that is just not based in fact, that is lies or are antiquated information, it makes it harder. In some cases, it makes it harder for families or individuals to get the information that they need. In the worst case scenario, they don't get the services and information that they're looking for. Period. And I think it's incredibly destructive. And I think we need to keep battling it as a society. The idea that somebody would go and look for objective information, right? Objective information on how to improve their lives and find a sea of disinformation and misinformation and half truths. I just think it's one of the things that that we need to keep battling as hard as we can, and to really look to you know, look as a society and say, we need to cut through this. We need to not allow this. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to their views. We're not trying to have everybody come to us for services if you don't want or need our information or our work. That's fine. To have a construct where there's sort of a, you know, the town square becomes anybody can say anything they want, and there's no accountability, and that there's clear misinformation, disinformation, half lies, full lies, is hurting lives. It's hurting families. It's hurting people's ability to reach their full potential.
Yeah, would you say that the misinformation and disinformation about Autism Speaks is actually hurting the autistic community?
Oh, I think it absolutely is hurting the autism community. I mean, we still have hundreds of thousands of people come to us a year for information and resources. But, you know, as a starting point, folks are supposed to come to us, folks come to us looking for something, right? And if instead, because of some narratives that aren't fully true, they decide not to. Again, there may end up not being something there that we have to, for someone, and we try to make sure that we're being as inclusive and covering as many topics and doing it in an evidence-based manner as possible. But if somebody comes to us and there's nothing there for them, that's perfectly fine. If they don't come to us in the first place because they've read something, you know, on the internet about something that was said in the past, et cetera, that's a missed opportunity. And not a missed opportunity for us. I mean, I guess it's a missed opportunity for us, but more importantly, it's a missed opportunity for that family, for that individual. And I think that's a shame. I think it's a crime.
So how do we heal? How do we bridge the gap? Because there is all that misinformation and disinformation on social media. Sometimes it's not very respectful, but I feel like at heart, we all want the same thing. We want more support and services for autistic people. So how do we get there? How do we bridge that gap? How do we heal?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the million-dollar question, right? And we as an organization think about that a lot, but it goes well beyond our organization, right? I mean, there's something we say inside our organization, as you know, fairly often, which is assume good intent. And I think that we as a society and we as a community do not do a very good job of that. If you just assume good intent and recognize that sometimes folks will use the wrong language. They may not do it, but oftentimes not intentionally. We're all trying to have better lives for ourselves. We're all trying to have better lives for our for our families and our friends and our loved ones. That's the good intent. If you start from a position of good intent, I think it'll go a long way. And I'd love to see that change in paradigm. Now, we can only do so much on that, right? We can talk about it. You know, we can set our tone that way. And I think we are wholly sincere in the way that we reach out and try to listen and to adapt over time. But it can't just be us. Right? We're a medium-sized organization. That has a significant voice, and we'll keep pushing that. So if people could assume good intent and come at things saying, that might not be the way that I'd like it characterized, that might not be the language I wish you would use, but be able to rise it above and say, what is the ultimate objective we're going for? What are we really trying to do? Yeah, that perhaps we'd make a little bit better progress faster.
What do you think is at stake if we can't bridge that gap?
I think we're leaving a lot on the table, right? I mean, I think that there are so many, I hear it every day, we see it every day. There are so many needs out there. There are so many situations where folks are struggling. And there's a commonality in some of those experiences. I mean, everybody's experience as a person, we talk about that everybody's experience with autism is different, but everybody's experience as a person is different, right? And if you start with recognizing that, but look for those commonalities, I think it just brings more humanity to the whole situation. But I think if we don't get that that we'll just continue to be fractured. And what's on the line is if what we're focused on is infighting and picking apart language and focusing on things that are not going to help anybody, then we're going to be stuck in a place of we're stuck in a box. We'll just keep talking amongst one another and saying what's wrong about things rather than collectively saying, I may not agree with you on 100% of things, but I do agree with you on these three things, and I'd rather focus on those two or three things than focus on what I don't agree with you or the language that you use. Again, I'm not saying the language isn't important. I think it is. I'm not saying that disagreements aren't important. They're critical. This whole country is focused on disagreement and discord of having discussions. But there has to be, if you want to make progress, there has to be a point where you sort of say, okay, I'll appreciate and respect your perspective, and I want to move forward. But if you don't have the I want to move forward part, then you're not going to get anywhere. And I'm afraid that we're not focused enough on that, and that gets lost. And I think that's a real, real big problem.
Next year is Autism Speaks 20th anniversary.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Really hard to believe. Do you have any plan for that? And what's your vision for the future? Where do you see the organization in 20 more years from now?
So I'll say the two words that I'm going to be using at our gala on World Autism Day are celebrate and honor. And it's a little bit of, candidly, me kicking off the 20th anniversary, because I think we have a lot to celebrate and honor. And that evening we'll be celebrating and honoring a number of individuals and a number of institutions that have done a tremendous amount for the community. So that'd be number one. But I think the bigger point is that continued evolution. Right, we recognize today that there's around 5.4 million adults with autism, and that 100,000 plus autistic individuals are aging out of school services every single year. That is a huge underserved population. We're going to continue to focus on what we always have as it relates to children, early diagnosis, early intervention. We'll continue that focus for sure. We'll make it better. We'll continue to evolve as technologies evolve, etc. But it's the adult part of the world, and quality of life around adults. And increasingly, we have adults coming to us looking for that assistance, looking for help. Today, it's interesting. Like today, I think you might know this, but our most accessed resource is a resource we put out just this year about getting a diagnosis as an adult. That's more access than the pieces that we have around early diagnosis for children, early intervention for children, and that's just that to me puts a bright spotlight on the fact that that's where we need to go, right? That quality of life, whether that's employment, whether that's post-secondary education, whether that's housing, whether that's medical care, and the tie-in to aging. We all age. I'm aging, and our medical needs and our physical needs change, and that we have to continue to really look hard at those questions so that we are addressing the broad needs of the community. And at the same time, yeah, we talk about employment a lot. I think it's also important to remember that employment is not for everybody, but that everybody is entitled to the dignity and the importance of a quality of life, and understanding what are the aspects of that quality of life and how we can help bring information and resources forward and help hold up and amplify the work of organizations that are doing that hard work every single day. I see that to be our future. As we continue to think about the lifespan, as they continue to think about a community that is growing and has diverse and shifting needs, that's where I see us going.
You said something that really stuck with me. You talked about how our most downloaded resources is the adult guide. And one criticism we receive a lot on social media is that Autism Speaks only cares about children. And it shows again how there is so much misinformation out there. And I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about the things that Autism Speaks is doing for the autistic and autism community, like, you know, our grants and the WIN program, all of that.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's I don't know whether it's just outright criticism or whether we need to do a better job of making people aware of our programs out there. I mean, you know, our new PSA is 100% dedicated and focused on employment, and it's, you know, the pickup of that PSA is something like 50% greater than our former PSA. It's all over the place. It's going to be in Times Square in a week or so, and so, you know, I think we're doing a good job of getting our word out there, but clearly not enough. You know, I've been in Washington twice over the last 3 months to testify to Congress about the importance of employment programs, but our employment program and trying to urge and work with companies to understand the importance of employing individuals on the spectrum and individuals with all disabilities for that matter is become really center of the target for us, because we recognize it's such a pronounced need. The 5.4 million individuals I referenced earlier, there's only a 21% employment rate amongst individuals with autism or disabilities. That's incredible when you think about the fact that we have historically low unemployment in this country. You have companies that can't find good, reliable employees. And you have this incredible skill set in individuals who are that are not getting tapped into. So that's something we are deeply leaning into. you know, on an everyday basis, we're working with companies and states to try to, you know, to try to change that paradigm, and it's happening. There's lots and lots of good small success stories, but what we want to do is see that come to scale. We're also one of our, you know, big sort of research agendas on the going forward is again this intersection of autism and aging. What we've learned is the medical needs. For the medical care and the medical needs for adults with autism are different than others, and what we know about that is specifically and how to help is scarcely little, and so we've been raising the profile on that and looking to put together a pretty scaled program to take that issue head on. So that individuals, as they're aging, can, you know, they can have the same quality of life, the same medical care, the same expectation of understanding in medical care as everybody. Those are two of the big ones. There's more, but those are two of the big ones.
Thanks for sharing. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
You know, we're very proud of the work that we do. We're very proud to represent the community. We understand the. We understand the obligation that we have to the community. We continue to evolve. We continue to learn. We continue to listen. And we are here to help. We understand that some individuals and families deeply want our supports and our help and our service. And for those who don't feel like it's valuable to them or for part of their lives, we totally understand that, and we wish everybody the best. Wish everybody the best in their development, in their journey, in their lives. We'll continue to evolve. We'll continue to make mistakes, but we're always going to do it with focusing and with the best intent to deliver for the community, to try to make the world a more inclusive place. And a place where individuals with autism can reach their full potential.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Just Another Autism Podcast. Your perspective is so valuable, so I thank you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Aileen.